Well, man, I was just reminded of a little story with that, a testimony, actually. I met this missionary one time. Am I on, brother? There we go. I was out to eat with this missionary from Israel. Can everybody hear me okay tonight?
Good.
Okay, good. This is really when I first got to really passing out tracts, gospel tracts. This is a few years back, and I went out to eat, like I said, with this brother from who's a missionary from Israel. It's the first night I've met him, and we walked into this restaurant, and everybody had ordered their food, everybody had sat down, and somebody said, "Where's Brother Phil?" He said, "Ah, he's just talking to people." That's what somebody else had said. I got to noticing what he was doing. He walked around every single one of those tables in that restaurant giving them a gospel tract. So I know exactly what you're talking about. It made me feel about that big to think that, you know, I'd called myself a preacher, amen. But if somebody had a burden like that, it's one thing, like Brother Terry had said, you know, it's one thing to have a burden, but to actually do something with that burden, something else, amen. I mean, I don't want to ever sit on the seat of do nothing, amen. I want to be busy. I remember Brother Willard used to always say, Brother Willard loved playing baseball. He loved playing baseball growing up. And he'd always tell him stories about them cleats and them shoes. And they were special to him, you know. And he'd always walk through town to get to the baseball field wearing another pair of shoes. And he'd get there and he'd wear his baseball shoes when he got there. But nonetheless, he said he never wanted to sit on the bench. He always wanted to be in the game. And that's, you know, a lot of times that's kind of how I feel. I find myself being too busy or getting too wrapped up in the things of the world. You know, I start hanging my head low, and the Lord starts dealing with my heart, and I think, Lord, if I had a little bit more time, you know, I wish I could do a little bit more with you. You know, if I could leave work a little bit sooner, I'd be able to have a little bit more time to do this. If I could just set aside a little bit more time, I'd be able to go knock on one more door some other time when nobody else is looking. That's when I like to do things, amen, you know, because ultimately it's all about glorifying Him. It's all about lifting Him up, you know, and I've noticed a lot of times people get to bragging on what they're doing instead of what God's doing in their heart, amen. Like you had stated earlier in Sunday school class, amen. A Christian don't have to sit there and promote who they are. They ought to be able to walk into the doors and somebody know who they are, amen. I shouldn't have to wear some lapel on my jacket about how many services I've been to, how long I've been attending church or anything like that. God knows my heart. He knows where it's at. He knows your heart. He knows everybody's heart. He knows our makeup. He knows what we're in need of, amen. He knows what we're doing, even when everybody else doesn't know what we're doing, amen. And He's proud of that. When He looks down on us and He says, "That away, go get them, boy." That's who I'm trying to please, amen. Hey, the Bible talks about being that eye service. You know, when we start doing that eye service for other men, we're doing it for the wrong reasons, amen. We're doing it for the wrong reasons. Do I need to turn this thing down a little bit? I like Christmas, amen. I love the Christmas season. I really do, you know. I believe we're living in a time when Christmas has begotten, it's gotten so commercialized that we have totally lost the focal point of what it's truly all about. And I believe that's part of our problem, amen, with these younger generations, these young children. You know, I never want to lose focus on what it's all about, you know. John 3:16 is still in the Bible, amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This whole thing of salvation started with giving, amen, not getting anything, amen. It all started when Jesus Christ, the Bible says, hey, He humbled Himself and made Himself. Let this mind be in you, which is also on Christ Jesus, who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled Himself and made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. This is all about a little humility, amen. The Bible talks about no man living greater than John the Baptist, but he said, hey, I must decrease in order for him to increase. And he's talking about the Lamb of God, amen. But there's a lot of humility that we're missing in our Christian life, amen. And I believe if we could just get back to that place to where we could just be humble and grateful for what we do have and the things that we have been given and the opportunity we have been given and the families we home and the houses we have and the clothes on our back and the shoes on our feet and the roofs over our head and the food we have on our table. He supplies my every need, amen. And I'm going to tell you furthermore that when all those things are coming to pass, I still got Him, amen. The Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Brother Terry. The Bible also says that a man that has many friends must show himself friendly. There's a lot of humility to show yourself as a friend. There's a lot of humility to show yourself as friendly. There's a lot of things that you have to sacrifice within yourself, amen, to be able to have that humility within yourself for somebody to be able to recognize that, amen. But it's humbling to know that I can go out and, you know, buy my son gifts. It's humbling to know that I can go out and buy my wife gifts and get them things wrapped up and put them under a Christmas tree, you know. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'd much rather see my son saved tonight than anything else. Amen? I'd much rather see him giving his life to the Lord today than anything else. Amen? And living for the Lord and holding his hand and asking the Lord for understanding and knowledge and wisdom. Amen? That's the greatest gift of all that no man will ever be able to take with him. He's going to outgrow those clothes. He's going to outgrow those toys. Amen? He's going to get bored with them. Amen? But you can never exhaust the Word of God. You can never exhaust your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's always fresh. Every day it's fresh in your life. Amen? It's not a matter of how much God we got. It's a matter of how much He's got of us. Amen. And I believe it'd do us some good, amen, to have a burden. I believe it'd do us some good to be able to go out and be a witness this time of year. Amen. I'm not going to preach very long tonight. Y'all pray for me. Amen. Y'all, if you don't mind, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Very, very familiar passage here. Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 25. The Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine and set him on his beast and brought him into an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I again I will repay thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you, Lord. You've given us this opportunity to come into your house, Lord. I thank you for your word tonight, Lord. And I thank you for the sweet peace, Lord, and the sweet presence, Lord, that I feel tonight, Lord. I thank you for Christmas, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I know it's not an exact time of when you were born, and I know that's somewhat trivial, Lord, but I'm glad it's this time of the year, Lord, that your name is a little bit more magnified than it is throughout the rest of the year, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege, Lord, you've given us, Lord, to be able to come into your house. Lord, I pray that you'd meet the needs of your people, Lord. Lord, I stand before you tonight, Lord, in need, Lord. I just pray that you'd touch me, Lord. I feel nervous tonight, Lord. I feel excited tonight, Lord. I just pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you'd protect me, Lord, that you'd fill me up, Lord, that you'd give me an unction and a touch, Lord. And I pray that you'd bless these words, Lord. And more importantly, Lord, if there's anybody in the midst of us tonight, Lord, who's lost, Lord, who's never accepted you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that this would be the night, Lord, that they could get birthed in the family of God, Lord, that they'd come to know You as their personal Savior, Lord. We'll be sure to give You praise and glory and honor for everything that You do. We love You, and we do ask for all this in Your holy and precious name. Amen. In the Civil War, my great-great-grandpa, somewhere in the hills of Tennessee, was shot in the mouth. Left for dead in the middle of a battlefield. This is a true story. Left for dead after he got shot right in the face in the middle of a battle. Oddly enough, this was a lost man, by the way. Somebody came by and found this man laying there as he was gagging in his own blood. Lo and behold, they took him back to a place, and somebody was able to save this man's life. He got out of the war, he went home in Starkville, Mississippi, and he erected a home and established a home and a house for the Reynolds. My grandpa grew up in that house, amen? But in that same spiritual likeness, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for me when I was out and I was lost and I was on my way to a devil's hell. I was left for dead. I was stripped of my raiment. I was wounded. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. But a certain man came by, amen, and he let me know that he loved me. He poured oil on my wounds. He bandaged me up. He carried me on his own end. And now I'm destined to go to heaven to meet him one day. Amen. And no man is able to take him. No man is able to take me and pluck him out of his hand. Amen. I'm as good as there. I'm as good as gold. I've got nothing to worry about. Hey, they call it eternal security for a reason. If it was temporary, the Bible would have said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have temporary life." It doesn't say that in my book, amen. It says eternal life, hallelujah. But thanks be to God. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, amen. But God, who is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, amen. But God, what a great intervention word. I'm so glad tonight, brother. I'm so glad tonight, amen, that there was that divine intervention in my life when I was dead and there was nothing I could do for myself, that somebody came by, picked me up, and put me on his end, amen, and put me on his mule and took me to his end. Forgive me. I just want to say that man who was left for dead, shot in the head in the battlefield, amen, did end up getting saved and became a minister out there in a little bitty community called Adeton, Mississippi, which is directly outside of Starkville, Mississippi. It's a little bitty community, and ended up being some sort of minister to where way back when they did things a little bit differently. I don't know exactly what they were called, but he was a justice of the peace. Justice of the peace is what it was. Forgive me. But nonetheless, somebody save this man. Hallelujah. It's exactly what Jesus Christ did for each and every single one of us. Amen. That's exactly what He did for us. Hallelujah. I want y'all to notice something here. When Jesus begins first telling the story, first of all, I like the characters He uses here. In verse 33, we notice that He uses a Samaritan man. Now we know he's sitting here talking to a lawyer. He's talking to a Jew, amen. And he just hits him square in the head, boom, with a Samaritan. Now the Jews were known to hate the Samaritans. Half-breeds is what they were, amen. Hey, I'm glad that I'm a half-breed with the Jews, hallelujah. I was grafted in, the book of Romans teaches me that I was grafted in. I was a wild branch, amen. But I was grafted in. Thanks be to God for that. I love it that He hits them right there, square between the middle of the eyes, boom, with, these are the people that you hate. But let's see what he says before this. In verse 31, right before He uses that Samaritan, He says, "And by chance there came down a certain priest." That's what we're living in today, church. We're living in a time where churches are filled up full of religion. Amen? Anyway, hey, we're talking about living in a time to where we've got more religion, but we put that whole redeeming power on the side of it. We've missed it, Brother Terry. We've missed it. We are so occupied with traditions. We are so occupied with formalities. We are so occupied with programs that we've missed God all the way because we are so busy and so consumed playing religion. Amen? And that's the time we're living in. Hallelujah. We need to get back to the old stuff. It was the old stuff that worked way back when. It's the old stuff that works today. Hallelujah. I'm convinced of that through and through, brother. You look around at these churches today and these mega churches and these liberal things going on and this embracing sin and this accepting sin. Hey, we're living in a time now to where sin needs to be called out. We need to get away from sin. Amen. We need to call it as it is. We need to not sugarcoat it. We need to not water it down. We just need to go ahead and say what it is because, hey, that's how someone's going to get help tonight. Hallelujah. You're not going to help me if you water it down and you tell me that I'm all right when I'm not all right and I need a little bit of help. Hallelujah. Lasciviousness is rapid. Fornication, pornography, drugs and alcohol is rapid all over our communities, all over our schools, and even worse, in our churches. I know people go to church more than I go to church. And they don't have a problem going out drinking. They don't have a problem going out socializing, as you would say, in a party environment. These things ought not be, church. These things ought not be, church. We got to protect ourselves from those things. Hallelujah. We also got to protect ourselves from our religion. Brother Keith, one thing I don't ever want to find myself doing is condemning somebody else and approaching somebody else with a condemning spirit because I've done got Pharisaical and Sadducees and I've got lifted up in my pride. And I could find myself in that same position, in that same predicament, no quicker than anybody else. And I don't ever want to find myself ate up with religion. I don't ever want to find myself lifted up with what I don't do. Because there is some things that I do. Amen? That nobody else knows about. How about judging? How about pride? How about haughtiness? Amen? How about religion, church? I'm going to tell you this right now. If you're sitting here tonight and the only thing you've done is turn over a new leaf, you're still on your way to hell. Amen? If God the Holy Ghost has never dealt with your heart and convicted you and drawn you and you've repented of your sins and you've asked Him to be your Savior, guess what? You're lost. If you took a formality, if you went through a notion because somebody else made you feel a certain way and they wanted you to go say a prayer, guess what? There your heart wasn't in it, you're not saved. Amen? That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it, Brother Terry. But a lot of people play religion on you. 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 Amen? Did I get that point across? Now that's what we see right here in verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Amen? Verse 30, look at what we see here. Jesus answering, he said, a certain man went down, fell Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves. What did he fall among? He fell among thieves. Amen? Some people are just playing a part, Brother Keith. You ain't no different if you're sitting in this church and you're looking for a free handout, amen? And you're looking for something else and you're looking for a pat on the back because you do this and you do that and you do this and you do that and you go to church and you're faithful and all this and your heart ain't in it. You're stealing from God and you're a God robber, amen? If all you're looking for is a blessing from God because of what you do, you are a thief. You are a thief. God don't need us, Brother Terry. It's nice to know that He loves us enough to have us. Amen. I'm glad He cares enough about me where He gives me some chances. Amen. But He don't need me for nothing. He don't need me for nothing. Lord help, I didn't mean for this to go this way tonight. And likewise, so we see this man in 31 that had a whole bunch of religion. Look at this. And likewise, a Levite, when he saw the place where he came, looked on him and passed by on the other side. See how Levite, what's the Levite did? They were in charge of everything that was going on at the church. So we see the religion in verse 31. Now we see the ritual in verse 32. But praise be to God, verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, we see this man was filled up with redeeming power. And when he went to him, bound him up in his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him an inn, and took care of him. Amen. 33, first thing we see is the compassion of the Samaritan's heart. That's what we see in verse 33, the compassion of the Samaritan's heart. I believe we're missing it tonight, church. I believe if we're missing anything in our Christian walk, it's compassion. If we are missing anything, Brother Terry, we're missing compassion. You know what this man did? Jesus said he came where he was. Every now and then we gotta sacrifice some things, church. Every now and then we gotta come where people are. This man was left for half dead. He couldn't do much for himself, Brother Keith. He couldn't do a whole heck of a lot for himself. I'm sure he was, you know, even if he could, at some point in time he was robbed. He was stripped of his raiment. I'm sure he was slightly embarrassed. He was slightly hurt. And somebody needed to go help him, amen. And this man had enough compassion to stop whatever it was he was doing. He was busy going somewhere else. And I believe with all my heart, some of us have been in those circumstances and we've been in those positions. We've been out in the world and we see somebody on the side of the road that needed a little bit of help. And if we would have just taken 5 minutes, who knows what God could have done with that? Who knows what God could have done with that? But he went where he was. And he had compassion on him. Romans chapter 12 talks extensively about Christian characteristics. Turn with me if you don't mind. Verses 1 through 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now let's go down to verse 20. Therefore, look at this, church. This is good. This is when it gets good. We're getting in here now. Therefore. Now he just went through a whole chapter here. That's how he started out the chapter. Now you can read through the whole chapter, but at the very end he says, because of all this, because of all these things that I just stated to you, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Look at this. One of my favorite verses of the whole Bible. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Boy, that's profound, isn't it? That is some deep stuff right there, isn't it? Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Please, no show of hands tonight. How many times have you been wronged and you overcame that evil with good? I know what goes on in my heart, my head. And I know how I react most of the time also. We're missing compassion. We're missing compassion. And evil is all around us. And the only thing we're doing is contributing to it when we find ourselves in those circumstances. We contribute to it. more so than any other lost man, because we're missing compassion. Compassion of the Samaritan's heart. Verse 34. Then I lost my place. And when he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 33, we see the compassion of the Samaritan's heart. Verse 34, we see the care from the Samaritan's hands. It's going to take some time, amen. It's going to take some time. And the Bible talks about, you know, when you're doing labor for the Lord, know that it's not in vain. He knows your heart. He knows your makeup, you know. I have a great aunt. She's passed. She's already went home to be with the Lord. But as a little child, I spent a lot of time with her. She was my only Bible, really. I'll be honest with you. This is out in Starkville, Mississippi again. But hey, that's my roots. You're going to hear it a lot, amen. That's where I'm from. That's what I know. But my great aunt Margie, Margaret Duke, she used to sit there on the front porch. I had a little issue as a child, and because my family wanted to save me from the embarrassment during summer camps, when all of my other little cousins that were my age, they got to go off to camp, but I had to stay behind. But God was doing a work in my heart at the age of 4 and 5 and 6 that I didn't know about while I was spending time with my Margie. We sat on that front porch and she'd tell me about Jesus and she'd tell me about Moses and a burning bush. Amen. These are stories that I remember as a child. You know, in my teenage years, you know, I didn't go to church. I was probably in church from the time I was 11, 12 years old until I was a 32-year-old man, maybe 6 times. Maybe a half a dozen times. But after the Lord saved me, He took my mind back to those days of sitting on the front porch with my Aunt Margie. And year after year, this lady would send me Bibles in the mail. And around Christmas time, I'd unwrap it. And I'd throw it to the side. But she never quit on me. She never gave up on me. She kept writing them letters. She kept telling me about Jesus. She kept telling me about what He did for me. She kept sending photographs of men in prison. She kept telling me stories about people getting caught with their sin and how she didn't want me to get caught. She saw where I was going. She saw where I was headed. She knew what was going on. And I was dead in my trespasses and sin. She kept on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And it would just drive me crazy, Brother Terry. I got to a place when I went out and visited with my grandpa and my grandma. I never wanted to see her because she just drove me bonkers talking about it. Oh, I'll never forget the day I went over there in Starkville, Mississippi, and she's sitting in that nursing home. I got to walk in shortly thereafter, me and Hannah met, and I said, I'm saved. And she says, is that you, Melvin? She cried. She was happy. But she spent 30 years praying for one boy that the Lord would do a work in his heart, amen. She never quit. She never quit. Now I find myself being in that same position. I got nieces and nephews who are out in the world. They're getting scarred. They're getting wounded. Somebody stripped them from their raiment and they're left for half dead. And all I can think about is my Aunt Margie. How she never quit on me, Brother Terry. Think about, you know, Gabriel. Think about him being a little boy. Think about him being an infant and a toddler. And all those long nights holding him. with my hands. We had RSV as a little toddler and he was sick. He just laid there lifeless for 2 weeks. All I could do was just hold him and rub on him and ask God to heal him and help him to feel better. That's all I could do. That's all I had was prayer. And I'm not undermining saying that's all I had. Amen. I'm not saying it in that sense, but I'm saying as a parent, I knew that there was nothing I could do through those days except talk to the Lord to get some sort of comfort and some sort of peace. But I'm talking about the care from a parent's hands. It takes time. Amen. Young people, teenagers, please never take that for granted to know that somebody is going to work for you. Somebody is going to work for you and putting up with a whole bunch of hogwash out in the world so you can have clothes, so you can have food, so you can have a bed, so you can have all these other things. Your parents work hard and they take time with their hands to do things for you. Amen. But you know what else I see in that? I see Jesus. When He found me, Brother Terry, I was seeking in that miry clay, and that miry pit. And I think about all the times that circumstances that could have been, what could have happened, what could have been. But through God's sovereign grace and God's sovereign mercy, He saw fit to keep me around with, hey, being long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Amen. And how I should have been that man. I should have been that man who got caught. I should have been that man who ran off the road. I should have been that man who unaware, just completely committed some heinous act and heinous crime of doing something where somebody else was driving down the road and I ran into them and I killed them. I should have been that man. But I wasn't. Because somebody out there in Starkville, Mississippi was praying that God would put a protective hedge around my life and get me to that place of salvation. Amen. And somebody took the time with their hands to kneel down in a closet and pray for me. Somebody took the time. And just like somebody's taking the time for each and every single body in this congregation tonight to take the time out to tell them about Jesus and to care about them. Amen. But ultimately it was Jesus. Ultimately it was Him who bore our sins to a place called Golgotha and hung on a cross and said it is finished and was buried and resurrected again the third day, amen. After He victoriously fought hell and got the keys, amen. The compassion of the Samaritan's heart, the care from the Samaritan's hands. And lastly, in verse 35, I love this, Brother Keith. This is the encouraging part, amen. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. God's never going to put too much on your plate that you can't handle. Amen. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. The consistency of the Samaritan's hope. The consistency of the Samaritan's hope. You know what, Brother James? When he dropped that man off, he just didn't quit right then and there. He said, there's something else I gotta go back for. And he didn't think not one time that this man was not going to get better. He had already purposed in his heart. Purposed in his heart that this man was going to get better. That he was going to be able to come back and see a man who was healing, who was feeling better, who was ready to go out and do something for the Lord. He was consistent in his hope. My Aunt Margie was consistent in her hope. Shame on us when we get lazy and cold and complacent. Shame on us when you was reading out that list of revival. Man, I'd love to have a copy of that, by the way. I believe we should read that every day. Amen. But shame on us when we're just going through the rituals and the religion. Shame on us when we want to quit. Shame on us when we want to put the towel down. Shame on us when we lose our desire. When we lose our fire for the Lord. You remember when you first got saved and all you could do was tell somebody that Jesus saved you? Amen. But how easy it is to get away from the fact that He did save you. How easy it is to get away from the fact that you don't go out and tell somebody what Jesus did because you done got used to what He did do. And God help us. God help us when we lose the fire that we once had for Jesus. Amen. The consistency of the Samaritan's hope. It would do us all some good to be consistent. Now, up and down, 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 up and down. That's our lives. I know lost people that have more consistent happiness than we do. The Bible says, brethren, count it all joy when you shall fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. And Paul said in the book of Romans, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. And Jesus Christ Himself said, hey, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, the consistency of the Samaritan's hope. If I go, I will come again. I will come again and to receive you unto my own, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Hey, I'm glad He's coming back tonight. I'm looking for Him to come back, Brother Terry. I'm looking for Him to come back. And I'm so glad that He is coming back. Hallelujah. I thank God that I got that hope tonight. I thank God that I got that reassurance tonight. I thank God, amen, that I have a heart that God has given me and a burden that He has given me to be able to want to go tell somebody else about Jesus. Amen. And I also thank Him, brother, that when I do find myself in that place of coldness, that God the Holy Ghost comes by and reminds me that I'm His. And reminds me, hey, that He hasn't quit on me and I don't need to quit on anybody else. I want to ask you tonight, I want to ask everybody here tonight, and I say this with all seriousness, I appreciate your attentiveness. I really do. But really search your hearts tonight. Really search your heart tonight and say, when was the last time I told somebody about Jesus? When was the last time I took the time